This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Jerry Dulac today on the U.S. Open at 2:05. Jody McDonald, 2:35 today. Tim Kirchen tomorrow. Did put out a quick text to Dick Girardi about Jerry West. See if we can slip in Dick Girardi here at some point. Jerry West passed away today at the age of 86. And what he, his entire life, is remarkable. But he's was also a perfectionist. Dick's going to join us at 1:35, by the way, Dick Girardi, to talk about Jerry West. So we'll do that at 1:35 with him. So full show today. And one of six children growing up in rural West Virginia, no money. I mean, no money. Fifth of six, was an outgoing, aggressive kid. And then his older brother was killed in the Korean War in 1951. When that happened, he became shy and introverted. Always a perfectionist. Was, when he played high school basketball as a freshman, he was too small. And his high school coach valued size. Well, then he suddenly had a growth spurt. He grew to 6 feet tall, and he became an all-state player three straight years. So he went to West Virginia. Yes, he played in Rec Hall against Penn State. So Jerry West did play in Rec Hall against Penn State in the late 50s. And I think the last time he played here may have been January, February 1960, something like that. And then he was drafted by the then Minneapolis Lakers, but they were in Minneapolis for like a hot minute, and they had already were in the process of transferring to Los Angeles. When he goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, he's got Elgin Baylor. They have great teams. They keep making the finals. They keep losing to the Celtics in the finals. He's the MVP in 69 in the finals on the losing team. That was the one where the Lakers had put all the balloons up in the ceiling, and the Celtics looked up and said, "Really?" and beat him. Don Nelson had a big game. Right. But for West, who was a perfectionist, it kept gnawing at him. West Virginia makes the national championship game. Cal beats them. He makes the NBA finals over and over and over again. Keep losing. Then they finally, now it's not the Celtics. Oh, great. It's the Knicks. Willis Reed comes out. of the locker room. And now people forget Walt Frazier at 36 points, by the way. That seems to always be the forgotten part. You know how many points Willis Reed had in the game? He had the first 4 points of the game. You know how many points Willis Reed had in the game? Four. Walt Frazier at 36. Willis Reed comes out, scores against Chamberlain. Boom, scores again against Chamberlain. Madison Square Garden's going crazy. Never scores another point the rest of the game. See, you know how I always talk about sports mythology? That's why I talk about sports mythology, stuff like that. The reality is Clyde Frazier at 36 in that game. Finally, in the 72 season, 71-72, everything falls into place for the Lakers. Now, the one part is Elgin Baylor, 5 games into the season, retired. But they had Will Chamberlain, they had Happy Hairston, they had Gail Goodrich, and they had Jerry West. And they won 33 consecutive games. Finally, on a Sunday game on ABC, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Milwaukee Bucks beat them. But the Lakers then went on and won the NBA title. Jerry West finally won it. And those losses gnawed at him. He was a perfectionist. And this is a kid that, growing up, nailed a hoop to a barn and would shoot and shoot and shoot. And believe me, his father hit him. Right, not for missing shots, but just was one of those guys, hit him, right? He'd go home after, he'd take so many shots from every different angle that he'd be late for supper, like really late, like a couple hours late, 2-3 hours late. And guess what? Mom would whip him. So you wonder how stuff like that shapes a young person. Then when his brother died in Korea, when he would have been 13, maybe? So, he gets to West Virginia, gets to the title game, loses to Cal by one. He's the MOP of the tournament. Okay. Then when he's done with his career with the Lakers, he becomes a coach for 3 years, has success, gets to the Lakers of the Western Conference Final, then becomes an executive. He ends up winning, I think it's 8 NBA titles as an executive. 8. He was a genius at team building. He was a genius at reading personnel. I mean, who's the guy that went out and engineered the Kobe Bryant trade? He did. Now, people don't, I think, again, you see Kobe Bryant, a whole career with the Lakers. He was drafted by the Charlotte Hornets. And Jerry West then engineered the trade that sent Vlade Divac and a couple of others to Charlotte for Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant, for a couple of years, first two years was okay. Wasn't great. Okay. By the time you get to his third year, he started playing like, hey, that's Kobe Bryant. Okay? And that is, and it's not just the fact that he gets Shaquille O'Neal and then adds in Kobe Bryant in the trade. When you're building teams, it's, the Celtics, you can talk as much as you want about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're the two stars of the team. But where are the Celtics without Drew Holiday? Where are the Celtics without Derek White? Where are the Celtics without Al Horford? It's the other people you build around them. So who do you think goes out and gets Robert Horry? Jerry West does, because he knows to have a winning team, you have to have a guy like Robert Horry, who's not a superstar, not a, a star, is really well known, just a really good player. And he saw, especially in the big games, which Jerry West excelled at in his career. That's why he's called Mr. Clutch. You saw in the big games how well Robert Horry performed for the Houston Rockets when they won two titles. Okay. He gets that. He got that. And that's how you end up winning eight titles as an executive. His ability to understand team building and understanding and how to read talent. Nick Van Exel, I thought, put out a great tweet today about, you know, what Jerry West meant to him. He said when the whole world was like thinking like, he says, Jerry West, he says, picked me and believed in me. Nick Van Exel had a really good NBA career, and other people bypassed him. Jerry West didn't. So he's going to go into the Hall of Fame for a third time in his life. Right? Now, he won't be there this time around because he passed away today. But he's going to be inducted into Springfield for the third time. One as a player, one as a member of the 1960 Olympic team that won the gold medal. Jerry West and Oscar Robertson were the two captains on that team. Pretty strong 1-2 punch right there. And as an executive this year. Wow. But he's also a guy that took losing hard. I mean, he was married twice. His first wife said she tried to console him all the time after a loss, any kind of loss, preseason loss, regular season loss. And he just wouldn't listen. He was inconsolable. That's how hard he took losing. I only saw, Todd, did you see any of the HBO series Showtime?
I did.
It doesn't look like you have an app named Showtime.
Oh, shut up.
I thought that was on my end for a second.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was whatever. I don't know why that did that. Shouldn't have done that. Of course, I don't have an app for Showtime, you idiot. I don't watch it. But there was a point where I think Paramount Cable Channel, not Paramount Plus, but Paramount Cable Channel, or TBS, one of them, put the first season on for free. And I remember watching it, and they essentially make Jerry West out to be the bad guy. Like, the bad guy? Like, you know, throwing stuff in his office, getting mad about everything, mad on the golf course, the whole thing. And the people who worked with the Lakers at the time, that are obviously still alive to talk about, said, no, that's not the guy we worked with. I think that is, if that is the case, that is a crying shame. If that's the case. In April of 2022, he demanded a retraction over there. I guess it was called Winning Time, right?
Yeah, and the book that it's based on does not make him look in that bad of a light. I think it was kind of artistic license with the TV people more than it was the book.
But you don't take artistic license with real people.
Well, I know
you're explaining it. I'm not.
It was not. I don't think anybody would have wanted been portrayed how he was in that show.
West's lawyers allege that Winning Time falsely and cruelly portrays Mr. West as an out of control, intoxicated rageaholic. Bears no resemblance to the real man. They ask for a retraction no later than 2 weeks from the receipt of this letter. They said the portrayal of Lakers legend Jerry West in Winning Time is fiction, pretending to be fact, a deliberately false characterization that caused great distress to Jerry and his family. Contrary to the baseless portrayal in the HBO series, Jerry had nothing but love for and harmony with the Lakers organization, and in particular with Dr. Jerry Buss, during an era in which he assembled one of the greatest teams in NBA history. Jerry was an integral part of the Lakers' NBA success. No kidding. It is a travesty that HBO has knowingly demeaned him for shock value in the pursuit of ratings. As an act of common decency, HBO and its producers owe Jerry West a public apology, and at the very least should retract their baseless and defamatory portrayal of him. HBO, of course, did not immediately respond to the letter. I mean, Jeff Perlman's the one that wrote the book Showtime. That's what it's based on. And they say that the series creators acted with legal malice. Scenes showing West's purported rage did not appear in Perlman's book and did not happen. The letter includes statements from former players such as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Cooper, Jamal Wilkes, as well as Lakers employees such as Claire Rothman, Charlene Kenny, Bob Steiner, and Mitch Kupchak, who worked with West during that period of time of the show, denying that they ever saw him commit any of the rage-filled acts or drink alcohol in the office as depicted in the series. Abdul-Jabbar said, Kareem said, instead of exploring his issues with compassion as a way to better understand the man, they turned him into Wile E. Coyote as a cartoon to be laughed at. He never broke golf clubs. He didn't throw his trophy through the window. Sure, those actions make dramatic moments, but they reek of exploitation of the man rather than exploitation of character, rather than exploration of character. Jerry treated me and everyone else in the Lakers organization with dignity and respect. I never saw Jerry break or throw anything in anger or rage, nor did I hear anyone ever say he did such things, said Claire Rothman. Mitch Kupchak. During my time with the Lakers as a player and in the front office, Jerry was always a professional, even-keeled, soft-spoken. He was always positive and encouraging with me. I also found Jerry to be honest and sincere. I never saw or heard Jerry lose his temper with anyone. I also never saw or heard Jerry go on an angry rant or tirade, nor did I ever see Jerry scream or yell at anyone. That was not his personality. He was soft-spoken. He does not like confrontation. He always keeps his composure and remains calm even when he has a disagreement with someone. Last, I've never heard or seen Jerry West break anything or throw anything in anger in his life. It's almost like in the show they didn't want to give him credit for it. They wanted to give credit. Jerry Buss did a great job with the Lakers. I mean, let's face it, and had a great vision for them. There's no question about it. But they always like needed somebody to be the bad guy, and he was the establishment, so he was the bad guy. Well, he wasn't the bad guy. The problem is when a show like that comes up and creates a narrative like that, there are people today that believe it and think he did that stuff. But like the opening scene, if I remember, the opening scene was, if I recall, was something about Jerry Buss at the golf course with him and West breaking golf clubs. Like, really?
I guess I should warn you before the Purdy, huh?
What, that you break golf clubs?
Yeah.
Something tells me you don't.
No.
I broke one golf club once. You want to know how I did it?
Hopefully not over the suit's head.
No. Jack, Ron Moeller, I think it was Mike McGinley and I were playing, and I think it was at Chartiers. Maybe Mike Wagner. I'm trying. One of them. And I hit a shot into the sixth hole, which has a false front. Well, I'm like, that's a pretty good shot. I should be on the green. Well, I'm 10 feet short of the green. I'm on the false front. Okay. So I take a sand wedge and I take a putter out and I bring it trying to decide what to do. And Jack walks by and says, what do you think, Jack? He says, chip or putt? He goes, oh, I'd putt. I said, oh, I forgot you can't chip. He says, no, I can't chip. Well, I decide to putt it. And I putt it up to within about, I don't know, 2.5 feet, right? Just to the right of the hole. And I bend down to pick up the sand wedge, because I laid it down on the ground. So I leaned, not heavily, but I leaned a bit on the putter, and it snapped. I'm like, oh, not great. So I held it up and I looked at everybody and says, well, in a fit of rage, everybody's laughing. Well, the problem is I'm left-handed. So Ron is the president of the club, Mueller. And he says, hey, they're going to send over a putter. Well, we can't get it till the ninth hole. So I had to borrow Jack's putter and putt right-handed the next three holes. I actually made one. I was like, okay.
I was going to say, let me guess, it's the best you putted in 3 years.
I was like, oh, okay. He says, maybe you ought to keep using it. I said, nah, I better. Well, here's the bugaboo. When the round is over, you know, I have to give the putter back. So I then asked at the pro shop, do you guys have any left-handed putters for sale? No. So I drive back to State College. I go to the pro shop here at the Penn State Golf Courses. Left-handed putters? No. I go over to Mountain View, the old Elks Club on 322. No left-handed putters. I go to Dick's Sporting Goods. No left-handed putters. I finally went to Walmart. I thought, okay, let's get really desperate now. No left-handed putters. You got to be kidding me. So then I went over to a place called Dunham's Sporting Goods, and Dunham's had one. I took it out. I put a ball down. I putted the ball. It went in the hole. I looked at the guy and go, sold. And I've had it ever since. But I had to go to, what, six, seven different places? Because nobody, like, Dick's Sporting Goods had just an entire semicircle of putters, and not one was left-handed.
There's not a lot of you, but there's some of you at least.
10% of the world! Come on! At least 10% of the putters should be left-handed.
You and Ned Flanders.
Ned Flanders. I couldn't believe it. Like, oh, because I couldn't play. Until I bought one, I couldn't play. Maybe for the course that was good.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. We bring in, going on 21 seasons together, Dick Girardi. Sir, welcome. It must be at least refreshing to talk basketball after the Triple Crown season.
Indeed, Steve, yes. Happy to talk some hoops with you today.
Yes. So let's talk about Jerry West now. Because, you know, obviously watching Jerry West, all my Jerry West was on TV. But, you know, this guy personified winning at all these levels, and now, you know, he's going to end up being inducted into the Hall of Fame for a third time this particular year. What are your thoughts on what Jerry West meant to the sport of basketball?
Steve, he was probably the first of the great two-way players before that was even a term. Right. I mean, he was regular on all defense, which didn't come out, I don't believe, until the 70s in the NBA. But a prolific scorer. He actually averaged, this is kind of hard to believe, 46 per game in a playoff series?
Yeah.
I mean, really? That's just crazy. So there's that. And then there's the, how about this? You'll love this. The 1958 all-visiting Palestra team. Jerry West, West Virginia, Oscar Robertson, Cincinnati, and Will Chamberlain, Kansas, were on that squad. So there's that. And, you know, it's fascinating. And you mentioned he's going into the Hall of Fame now for a third time, this time as a contributor, obviously, for what he did as a general manager and a scout with the Lakers and a number of other teams. He's also in as a player for his college and NBA days, and was a member of the legendary 1960 Olympic gold medal winning team, where he and Oscar Robertson were the starting backcourt, and that team went in into the Hall of Fame. But you know, Steve, for all of that, Jerry West was a tortured soul.
Yes,
he had so many close calls. Right, he lost the. As a junior, West Virginia lost the NCAA championship by a point to the University of California. All those Laker teams that were in game sixes and sevens against the Bill Russell Celtics that just would lose, like have a shot to win one series. Frank Selby missed the shot. Everybody wishes West had taken it because his nickname was Mr. Clutch. And, you know, he finally won. They beat the Knicks with Wilt the year they won 33 games in a row, which is still an NBA record. But, yeah, I mean, and then I think back even to the mid-90s when he was running the Lakers. And, of course, he ran the Showtime Lakers in the 80s and won all those championships. In the mid-90s, he's got, I want to say, like, Charlotte had picked 13 or 14.
Yeah,
and
that
said,
sounds
you know
right.
What?
Yeah.
You have Vlade Divac for that pick. And they said, really? Vlade Divac? And they said, okay. So they got the pick, and he got Kobe Bryant. Not bad.
Well, yeah, well, again, it's his eye for talent, because I thought Nick Van Exel put out a great tweet today. Like, no, nobody else thought he could really play. He said Jerry West thought he could play. So that's why he picked me. Right?
Yeah.
Well, Kobe Bryant's 18. He's out of Lower Merion. He falls that far in the draft. He not only thinks he can play, but you also have to have an eye if you're a GM of the people around him. He gets Robert Horry to come in. That's a pretty good pickup.
Yeah, and that was only the second year that of the modern draft where high school players could go back in. Kevin Garnett, you remember, had been taken the year before, but he was a big man. They're going, well, you know, you can't take guards out of high school. It's insane. And I will say this. I saw Kobe play a number of times, Steve, and I didn't see it. I mean, he was really good. I did not envision what happened at all. Yes, that's why you give credit to Jerry West, who has all those great nicknames, the logo and Mr. Clutch, but yeah, among many of them, should be just one of the great talent evaluators and a guy who understood how to put together a winning basketball team. He had to do it at all those levels. It's really unprecedented. There's nobody in the history of basketball with a career remotely like his.
Well, in fact, you know, to back up what Dick says, I mean, like the first 2 years that Kobe Bryant played in the NBA, he was okay to good. It wasn't until his third year, which would have been his junior year in college, where he really started to take off and be Kobe. I mean, that's you know, sports is filled with mythology, and that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think what Jerry West saw was the incredible will to be great, which Kobe had in high school. But as you said, he's 18 going into the NBA against men, and he didn't know, and nor should he have known, how to do certain things. And over time, he figured it out, and then obviously went on to be one of the greats of his generation, one of the greats of all time. So, yeah, and I don't know that Jerry West saw all that, but he saw enough that he was willing to give up an all-star player for a young kid out of a high school, frankly, that plays in a not a great league. In fact, I saw him play against Roman Catholic. I want to say it was his junior or senior year at Drexel. They got run off the floor. I mean, they weren't good enough to compete with the very best high school teams. They did win a state title, but that's PIAA. That's not playing against the Philadelphia Catholic League, which were not those teams were not able to play in the state tournaments back then. So, credit to the obviously credit to Kobe more than anybody because he had to put in the work to do it, but somebody had to see it. And that was, people were questioning him, like, what are you doing? Well, he obviously knew what he was doing.
Yeah, no, he knew exactly what he was doing. As a player, he's at West Virginia. You mentioned they go to the title game. Cal beat him by one. He and Robertson are the co-captains of the 60 Olympic team that get a gold medal in Rome, right? But then when he goes to the Lakers, he's got Elgin Baylor initially. Then they eventually acquire Wilt Chamberlain. What was it about him where he adapted to people around him to play the game? Because you never heard about any problem between Jerry West and, quote, the other stars on the team.
No, you really didn't, Steve. And I don't think I ever saw him play in person. It's possible I saw him play at the old Baltimore Civic Center against the Bullets, but when he was on the Lakers, I don't have any memory of having done that. Obviously, I saw him on TV like you did. I just think he was a guy. He wasn't. He didn't demand the ball. He wasn't that kind of guy. In the NBA, he would have been more like a shooting guard. In college, he was more what we would call today a small forward. Yeah. But a great rebounder and a great defender. And I think he could just adapt to whatever the situation was. And like you said, you're talking about two of the all-time greats that were his teammates. First, Elgin Baylor for the bulk of West's career, and then Wilt nearer the end. And then that team that actually won the 33 in a row and finally won the title, Baylor retired right before the long winning streak. He wasn't on that team.
Right.
So West and Chamberlain were the stars of that team. And the 33 in a row, the Heat team came, what did they get, to 27?
Yeah, 27, yep.
Yeah, they got close. But, and if you think about it, in the era when they did it, that's pre-charters. That's when there would be a game in City A one night and City B the next night, and you would get up at 5 in the morning and get on a commercial flight, fly in and play. So that much harder to win. It isn't like now where you're flying out on a charter and staying at a 5-star hotel. Yeah. So, 33 in a row in that era of the NBA is pretty astonishing.
And I think correct me if I'm wrong about this, I think it was a Sunday game on ABC with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Bucks that finally snapped the 33-game winning streak.
That sounds right. I think I remember reading or knowing something about that, but I don't remember. I might have watched it, but I don't remember that part.
I remember watching the game.
Okay.
It was like, but again, that's just, who knows? It's 1972, whatever it was.
The 52 years ago?
Yeah, 52 years ago.
They beat the Knicks. They didn't beat the Celtics for the title. They beat the Knicks in five games.
Right. And I'll get to the Knicks here in a second because Don Nelson hit a shot in the Forum to then rip their heart out in 69. From the corner, and
it bounced over the backboard and then came down and went into total brick.
It wasn't Havlicek or Russell or Sam Jones. It was Don Nelson. But then in 70, they get the Knicks. We got it.
Yep.
Game 7, and of course the magic of Willis comes out. Right, Willis Reed comes out, scores the first bucket, place goes crazy, scores the second bucket, place goes crazy, never scores again, and everybody forgets that Clyde Frazier at 36.
they forget that he was the dominant player. And by that time, West had been in the league for over 10 years. He was probably 33 or 34. He wasn't the same player. He's still very good, but he wasn't the player he was early in his career. Because if you think about it, Steve, guys in their early 30s back then, their careers were done because they don't have what athletes have today. Like LeBron James could not have happened back then because there just isn't the kind of medical devices they can use. It just wasn't happening because there's like 14 years, which I believe is what West played, was a long time to play in that era of the NBA, a really long time.
And not only that, but I mean, John Havlicek, who would be a couple years behind him, but just a couple. I mean, he had to sell insurance in the offseason during the 60s.
Exactly.
I mean, these guys
making big money at all back then. Yeah, there were no $50 million a year contracts. Yeah. You know, the people kind of listening to this are going, that didn't happen. But the NBA playoffs were up on tape delay. The
finals. Oh, goodness, yeah.
Like,
oh,
what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sunday, maybe you could watch a live game. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'll do that.
That was crazy. Different time, man. Completely different time.
Ask yourself why Will Chamberlain's 100 points happened to be against the Knicks and Hershey.
Exactly. I actually saw some games in Baltimore where they had doubleheaders, where they would bring in two other teams to play before the Bullets would play whoever they were playing, just to try to draw fans. I mean, it's like, no, that can't happen. It's just people see what it is today. What are they signing, a bazillion-dollar contract with three or four different networks? And guys like Jerry West are the guys that laid the groundwork for all this.
Exactly.
And by all accounts, was still active. He worked for the Clippers up until the end, was still involved in every imaginable way.
Yeah. No, and eight NBA titles, in fact, as an executive along the way.
Yeah,
I have to ask you about Danny Hurley. He makes the choice, like Mike Krzyzewski decided to stay at Duke. Mm-hmm. Initially, Billy Donovan was staying at Florida. He stays at UConn. What was your thought on the pursuit of him and what he ended up deciding?
I wasn't surprised that it ended that way. He had nothing to lose by going to talk to the Lakers. Maybe they could have made him an offer he couldn't refuse, or that really is what he wants to do someday.
Yeah.
But clearly, whatever the offer was, he thought, you know what, I have it really good. Why don't I just stay where I am? I'm a Northeast guy. I don't know what factor his family would have been or not been, but as you know, he's a Jersey City guy. Like, Connecticut is far away for him from Jersey City.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, I think that was, my guess is that was part of it. And, I mean, if you think about it, even with the craziness that's going on in college sports now, the good teams are still going to be the good teams, right? I don't know why that's going to change all that dramatically. And he's got it going at a place where you are the sport. You have incredible support. He can win forever there. And let's say he really does want to coach in the NBA. He's not even 50.
Right.
there's plenty of time if that's what he wants to do. But, yeah, I just think he looked around and said, man, I can win here forever. Why not just do that?
Penn State's heading back to the practice floor to do what they're allowed to do in the summer, which I think is like 4 hours a week or something like that. It's five returnees, it is four recruits, and it's four transfers. Just when you see what Penn State has, not only what we've seen, you and I, in person, but also on paper, what do you think of the makeup of this team?
Yeah, I like everything about it. If you think about it, how many, not just Power 5 or 6 or whatever you want, I don't know how many Power Leagues we have now that the Pac-12 no longer exists, but whatever that number is, how many teams from those leagues or any league has their top five eligible players returning in this era? Steve, it can't be many.
I can tell you, Dick, in the Big Ten.
You said there's recruits, there's transfers, there's style of play. The team was very good by the end of last season. I'm very optimistic for year two under Mike Rhodes and the staff.
Yeah, because I can tell you, Dick, that because as you know, I'll do a lot of off-season work. So the Big Ten schools, Penn State's the only one of the 18 that has five of its top six scorers back from last year. They're the only one.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's just really unusual. And they'll probably be picked nowhere, and I think you and I will think they'll do a lot better than nowhere. And look, by the end of the season, you know, other than Purdue, was there really anybody in the league that you thought they couldn't play with? Probably not.
Right.
So, yeah, and Purdue ended up playing in the national championship game. So, yeah, I think it's – and the fact that they were able to do what they did with essentially an entirely new roster built on the fly last year, and now they've actually had time for the key guys to come back and the new guys, and yeah, until we see them, I mean, I know one of them, but until we see the rest of them, you don't know for sure, but – the great likelihood is that there's going to be a lot more talent in that group than there was in the group that's no longer there.
And the guy that everybody knows, you've seen, is Kachanze. And I know when you saw him at George School, you loved him.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, he went to Xavier for a season and was kind of miscast as a screening five-man backup who barely got a chance to play, and he'll be a four-man for Penn State, and he's a phenomenal athlete who can shoot it all the way out to the three, will be a perfect fit for the pressing, aggressive defense, and will instantly be among the best athletes in the Big Ten. He's a great guy, and for the people that don't know, and I know you do know, Stevie was coached in high school by former Penn State point guard Ben Luber, who's really put together a great program at the George School. They won the Friends League for the first time in school history in Philly for the first, last, not this season, but the season before when Kachi was a senior. So, yeah, he'll be a good player. And I know some of the other recruits are very highly touted and obviously some of the transfers as well. So looking forward to seeing it all, how it comes together for this season.
Always a pleasure, DJ. Analyst.
You got it. Thank you, Steve. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, he's the best. Dick Girardi. Can't say enough great things about him. But, you know, you, one thing about, I will say about Jerry West, and it's a general comment, I would hope people would do a better job of understanding history of something, whether it's a player being in it, a coach being in it, a broadcaster being in it, to give, because it allows you to give perspective to fans who think like today is the only thing that, like the game was not invented when Michael Jordan started playing. The game was not invented when LeBron started playing. Right? There are a lot of guys before then that had to do what Dick talked about, doubleheaders in Baltimore, playing a game in Hershey, you know, things like that, that players today don't have to do. There is no league today if those people fail. If they fail, there's no league. Well, there might be a league, but not like it is today. I mean, because of what they did, right? They were able to build a mansion on a pretty solid foundation because of the Jerry West of the world who helped make it that way. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, he can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.